What's your name?
Marvin Swanson.
And what branch?
U.S. Marine Corps.
Okay. And what prompted you, Marvin, to go into the service for the Korean War?
Well, it's just my friends were going in, and it just I figured that's where I would go too.
Okay. So where was basic training held when you left
San Diego?
Okay, San Diego. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And how long were you in San Diego?
Oh, basic training, I suppose, was I went to school there, and everything, I suppose, it was over a year.
Okay, so a year of basic training.
Mm-hmm.
And what was all involved with basic training?
It was combat training, you know.
And you lived in barracks then in San Diego?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What was the morale like?
Oh, good.
Just in basic training alone?
It was good, yeah. Yeah, everybody was new
there
and experiencing it, you know, for the first time.
Make a lot of friends, buddies.
Yeah.
So, when did you get shipped out to Korea?
Oh, gee.
After that year, you got orders then?
I'd say 52.
Okay. And you landed in Korea. Where in Korea?
Well, when I say Korea, I was there on the ship.
Okay.
I never was there walking on the land.
Okay, so this was all ship.
Yeah.
And what was that like? What was life on a ship?
Well, we had our own compartment, the Marine Corps. We're a special detachment. And we had our own department down below decks.
Mm-hmm.
And we held out, and what we did basically was maintain security of the ship. If they needed help on the shoreline, we were trained in combat training to go help them out. And that's basically what it amounts to.
How many servicemen on the ship that you served on?
Oh, on the whole ship?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that I don't know.
Okay.
There was 40 of us.
Okay. Smaller ship then?
A heavy cruiser.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so it was a bigger ship. It wasn't no battleship. It was, you know, next to it, you know.
Were you in the war zone?
Yeah, oh yeah. Yeah.
And what was your primary responsibility?
Well, on the ship, my primary responsibility, I had my own office down. We had our own compartment, the Marine Corps.
Mm-hmm.
And there's 40, and I give out who stood guard when and where, and liberty time come when they're ashore.
Mm-hmm.
I give them liberty passes. I controlled the office for the Marine Corps. When we were out at sea in a combat area, wasn't in a whole new ball game. Then the Marine Corps is an open 3-inch mount on the bow of the ship and an open 3-inch mount on the fantail. There was more of them too. But the Marines operated the one on the front of the ship and on the fantail of the ship. And that was a 3-inch open mount. It's just a steel rim around it.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't enclosed like a 5-inch, which isn't completely enclosed, you know, or 8-inch gun. So we operated those two guns.
And so 24 hours a day, someone was standing guard, and you were in charge of who was in guard, who was on standing guard.
Yeah. We maintained the security in the ship, and everybody, when we go into a battle zone, everybody knew their positions, what to do and where to go.
What did you encounter during the wars, being in the war zone on that ship? Do you have any standout memories that you would like to share?
Well, I was telling Debbie not too long ago, I guess. In one particular case, when the shelling gets heavy on the ship, all the open mounts are secured below decks, the people, because they got no mm-hmm. guards, you know.
Sure.
And I remember they called out and all open mounts get below decks, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember I was the last one to go below decks. And I was telling Debbie this. I had the hatch just about closed, and I heard this poof. But what had happened, they had a direct hit on the mount right next to ours, on the Navy mount, right in the breech of the gun. So all the Navy personnel, which would have been about 10 of them, would have killed every one of them. And the flak from it would have taken some of us too, I think. So that was a close call.
Yeah.
But usually when the flak gets in, they start firing at us. The open mounts are secured below decks.
I see.
And all the closed mounts, of course, they fired away. You know.
So on this ship, you had both Marines and the Navy personnel?
Oh, yeah.
How many Navy and how many Marines?
Well, there's 40 of us Marines. We were a special detachment.
Okay.
And how many people it took to run the ship, I haven't got the slightest
sure.
idea.
Yeah.
But we were detached to do offshore fighting and whatever. Mm-hmm. If they called on the shoreline for help, we'd go ashore. We just about did that one time, but they called it off at the last minute because they got out of it, whatever they were in.
Sure.
That,
wow.
I was happy about that. And then one time we went by and they have Navy personnel, they had a group of Navy personnel, and their job was to watch for mines. You know what I mean by a mine, don't you?
Right.
And what happened was, we went by a mine.
In the water? In the open water?
In the water.
And how does that work, an open mine in the water?
Well, all you could see was just a little bit on the top, and the rest was submerged.
Wow.
See? And there we went along, and they had personnel watching for this type of thing. Well, when they went by the mine, the wake of the ship kept the mine about that far from the ship. And the only one that saw it when it neared the end was the captain of the ship. And boy, was he mad.
Wow.
Because the mine detectors missed it somehow, you know. But I'll never forget that. And we just blew it up, you know, then, you know.
How many mine detectors are on a ship?
Oh, there's a group of them. Okay. I suppose 6-7, I suppose, or maybe there's more of them.
Okay.
The Navy took care of that.
I see.
Take care of it. And anyway, they missed this one. But what scared me most of all was the fact that we would have hit, and we would have been bad enough so the ship stopped. It would have taken the people on the shoreline about 10 seconds to zero in on us and would have blown us all to pieces.
Wow.
So it was just lucky, you know.
Oh, my God.
You think back afterwards, you didn't think about it too much at the time.
Yeah.
But afterwards you think, oh, my gosh, you know, that could have been bad, you know. And then one time on a forward 5-inch mount, this 8-inch mount, they have powder charges. It isn't one, it had a shell.
Mm-hmm.
But they have powder charges. Somebody mishandled something inside there, and one of the powder charges blew. And it killed, I don't know how many in there, because we opened the hatch and got them out.
Mm-hmm.
But we were dragging them out. There must have been 7 or 8 that were killed in there. Because it was all contained, you know. And
but no damage to the ship otherwise?
No, it's just that gun mount.
Okay.
And not to the ship other than that.
Thank God, yeah.
So you never know. And it's just like one time we were, they needed somebody ashore. And they called us, and we were going down the side of the ship under long boats,
mm-hmm.
small boats, to go ashore. And they called it off. They must have got out of what they were in. So we were pretty happy about that.
Uh-huh.
I wasn't too excited about going ashore. But, you know.
So it was better for you all to just remain on the ship than to ever be called to shore. Is that correct?
Oh, there's no question
about
it. Yeah. That's actual hand-to-hand combat and regular combat.
Sure.
While I was on the ship, and I got the whole ship to help protect me.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
Yes, absolutely. Amazing. I didn't realize that this was a mix of both Navy and Marine.
Yeah, there's 40 of us. And we had our jobs, and then we maintained security of the ship.
Mm-hmm.
And we took dignitaries when we were in Long Beach, and that. We took dignitaries to different places too.
Wow.
And but when you think back on it, we were lucky in a lot of time in the war zones that we didn't get, you know.
Mm-hmm.
What scared me most, got hit, so mm-hmm. you couldn't maneuver the ship. Because the shore batteries, the enemy would zero in on you and just blow you apart, you know. So, but it, everything worked out good.
How long at one time, what was the longest time that you were on the ship?
Oh, gee. I suppose maybe 2-3 weeks.
Okay.
You know, we'd have to go in and refuel, you know, mm-hmm. And
go back
like
to
that.
Shore to refuel. And
but a guy thinks back on a lot of that. That book I got shows, I even got my picture.
Mm-hmm.
But you think back at a lot of times, the close calls you had.
Mm-hmm.
And like I say, that 3-inch mount that we operated, that I was on, the forward one, the one that the Navy had, they got a direct hit, did I tell you?
Mm-hmm.
And
so direct hit, and then what happened to them?
Well, it would have killed every single one of them.
Mm-hmm.
But they had just secured the ship because we were in a war area and the shells were flying. So they ordered us to get all open mouths, mm-hmm. get below decks. And we just got below, and the Navy did too. And then I heard that poof.
Mm-hmm.
And I suppose 40 more seconds, that Navy would have been there. They would have killed every single one.
Gosh. Such a close call.
Yeah.
Such a close call. What was the morale like when such a close call like that happened?
Well, the morale was good. There's no getting around that.
Mm-hmm.
But this is because we had planes, we shot down planes.
Mm-hmm.
And we picked up dead pilots. They'd radio into us, and some of them were killed, and a lot of work. They got out, they bailed out, and then they called mm-hmm. us, you know, to bear them up.
The Korean War ran from what year to what year?
Oh, gosh.
Was it 1951?
I was just going to say 51, but about 53, I think.
To 53.
53 or
okay. 54. And you were on the ship the whole time during that period? Or what length of time were you on the ship?
Oh, I suppose I must have been on there at least...
1 year?
Oh, yeah.
1 year?
At least 1 year.
Good.
It's
good to know. So 1 full year on the ship, and then docking as needed for fuel and, you know, basic groceries, everything you needed, correct?
Oh,
that's
yeah.
when
oh,
you
yeah.
went back to shore. And
oh,
when
yeah.
you went back to shore, where was that? Do you remember?
San Diego.
San Diego, okay.
And Hawaii.
Okay, Hawaii.
And, yeah, that's about it, I
sure.
guess.
Sure. You got to see places you never would have otherwise.
Oh, no question about
obviously.
That.
Obviously.
Yeah. When I was in the Naval Reserve, then I went to Cuba. And so, and I think that's partly, I was in the Naval Reserve for a number of years before I joined the Marine Corps.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's probably why I got sent out of ship.
I see.
In the Marine Corps, because I was acquainted with the Navy. You know?
Sure. So you had served that period before you went...
In the Marine Corps.
Yes, into the
yeah.
Marine Corps.
And when I was there, I was in Cuba.
In Cuba.
I went to Cuba that one time.
And how long were you in Cuba?
Oh, I imagine 3-4 days or something like that.
And what was that like?
Well, we went got around quite a bit, you know. But it's, I don't know, it's much different than any other
mm-hmm.
towns yet. I mean, their lifestyle isn't sure. a heck of a lot of difference.
How were you treated? When
good.
You were in Cuba.
Cuba, good. Oh, yeah. Because a lot of they had a lot of visitors there. You mean their income
sure.
was quite from
tourism.
People from the States coming
mm-hmm.
in, you know, for whatever, you know. But, that's one thing about being in the service. You get around quite a bit.
Definitely. You
know.
See places.
And I went to different places in Cuba and that. and I have to look it up.
No, it's been so many years ago in places I've been, you know. And, so I spent, I got around in the world quite a bit, I guess.
Did you get lots of letters from family back home while you were serving in Korea?
Well, I don't know if I got a lot, but I got letters. Oh yeah, oh yeah.
And that, what was that like, getting mail from home?
Oh, you enjoyed it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, no doubt about it, you know. And my brother was in the Air Force, so I'd get back to port, I got to see him a couple of times.
Sure. Where did he serve?
He had a base right by the ocean. I can't remember the base, so I can't remember the name of the base.
Was this in California?
Yeah,
or?
Right.
Okay, so you got to meet up with
him? I didn't get to meet him.
Okay.
No. But I knew he was there, you
sure.
know. But, yeah. See, here's... I made a mark.
That's a big group.
Yeah, this should be 40, about 40 of us.
Very nice.
Let's see, right here. Let's see, where was that mark? Yeah, that's the mark.
Yeah, very nice.
Swanson, MD.
And what was your, you were corporal?
Corporal, yep.
What does it take to become a corporal in the Marines?
Oh.
Basic you start out as?
Well, private first class.
Private first class. And what does it take to become a corporal?
Well, if you do your job and you do it right and whatever, I don't know what the time element would be.
Okay.
But I would have been sergeant if I would have stayed in, I would have been a buck sergeant. Because they said that.
Yeah. And that was how close from the time, close to happening when you left?
Well, if I wouldn't have left, that's the idea to make you want you to stay.
Sure.
I would have become a sergeant right away. So.
When did you find out that your time was done? Was the war, when did you find out that this conflict was over?
Oh, I can't remember the date.
Okay. Yeah, but it...
53?
53.
And, 53, but I didn't know at the time.
Okay, and it reached you on the ship?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then after that good news, the happy news that this was over, mm-hmm. you went back to port in San Diego?
Let's see. I wonder if we didn't go back to Hawaii.
Okay.
Los Angeles, San Diego, yeah. I think, I'm not sure, you get back where I can't.
Mm-hmm.
We went back to port.
Mm-hmm.
And that was, you know, the end of that.
All these years later, Marvin, are there people that really stand out in your memory that you served with? That you would like to talk about? Any buddy stories?
Well, you have people, you all have something in common, you know. Mm-hmm. And we used to go raise heck when we went to port, you know. and go to the clubs and all this kind of
sure.
stuff, you know. Yeah.
Did you keep in contact with them throughout the years after?
It's funny you should ask, because we just did. In fact, Debbie just talked to them.
Last night.
Great.
Yeah.
Some lifelong friendships were made.
Yeah, right.
David Darley.
Great.
What?
David Darley.
Yeah. Yeah, David Darley. I just talked to him and she just talked to him not too long ago.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Did you have reunions throughout the years?
They've had reunions, but I didn't go to them.
Okay.
Because a lot of them were in Los Angeles.
Sure.
And that.
Mm-hmm.
But they did have reunions.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Now, the person that you just talked about that you were friends with all this time, where does that man live?
Los Angeles. Wasn't it
Debbie?
I think so.
Los Angeles, I think okay. he lives in.
Okay.
But we, Debbie just talked to him, and I talked to him once in a while.
Yeah.
And so we went on Liberty together.
Sure.
There was about four or five of us. In fact, I got pictures of us sitting at a table at mm-hmm. a bar. And we kind of all stuck together in a little small group, you know.
That's great.
You know.
Very nice. All for fun.
Oh, yeah, there was our table, yeah.
How old were you when you were serving on that ship?
Well, I must have been around 21, 22, I suppose.
Okay, just young. Very young. How did you feel about leaving the military?
Well, I guess I didn't have too much feelings. I didn't really want to stay in.
Yeah. You didn't want to make it a career?
No, no, no.
After all those close calls on ships, you were anxious to be done?
Yeah, this was our group that we kind of stuck together.
Very
And
nice.
This was that David Darley that Debbie was talking about.
Yeah, very nice. So what did you do after you left the military? Once you got off that ship, what was the next thing for you to do?
In the service?
No, after you got done with the service.
Oh, well, I went back to work for Red Owl.
Okay. And you had been at Red Owl prior to going into the service.
Yeah.
And what did you do at Red Owl?
I operated the cheese cooler.
Okay.
You know.
You don't want to get stuck in there, do you?
All the refrigerated items.
Are there any stories you would like to share at this time before we close that would really you would like to go on record sharing? Is there anything you'd like to say?
The dignitaries.
Oh, the dignitaries that were on the ship?
Oh.
Is that you had dignitaries serving?
Yeah, Pillsbury.
Oh, okay.
We took him and we took some other dignitaries at other times too, but I can't remember.
And you said what was that name?
Pillsbury. Yeah.
Okay, and why was he on the ship?
They took him to Hawaii.
I see.
Every once in a while when we'd always go to L.A. Mm-hmm. or whatever, and then we'd go back to Hawaii, or when we come, we'd hit mm-hmm. Hawaii first, and then we'd go to dock
okay.
the States, and then when we left again for Korea, then we'd stop at Hawaii again,
mm-hmm.
and so we stopped there ever so often.
Sure.
So we got to spend some time there, too.
Yeah.
But
what was it like having dignitaries? How did life on the ship change having those dignitaries on?
It didn't really change
okay.
too much. I didn't.
Okay.
I saw them once.
Okay.
And that's about all, you know.
Sure.
And so it didn't make much difference. And they just took them to Hawaii, or if they had Hawaii, took some back probably sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
They had some other dignitaries too, but one day it'll click in.
Mm-hmm.
It's funny how it goes. You try to think of them now. You haven't even thought of them before.
Sure.
And it clicks in. But there was other dignitaries too. That it's quite an experience, you know. But what I really enjoyed was going to Cuba.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
You enjoyed going to Cuba.
Yeah.
Now why do you say that?
Because it was just a fun place to go. You
okay.
know? And it's no war zone.
Sure.
And you got to party, you know, and you hit the bars, you know, and so forth, you know. And it, never been there before.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Any last thoughts you would like to share?
Oh, gosh.
About your experience? Are you glad that you did it?
Oh, yeah.
Gotten the chance to do any redos, you would have gone forward with it?
Pardon me?
If you had to do it all over again, would you still have gone through
I see what you mean. Yeah, I think
military
so.
Military and
I think so.
Everything you went through?
Yeah, because I was in the Naval Reserve first,
mm-hmm.
and I got to go to Cuba with the Naval Reserve.
Sure.
And then I got to go halfway around the world in the other ship,
mm-hmm.
you know. And so I stayed, being in the Naval Reserve, I still spent most of my time with the Navy.
Yeah.
You know.
And, interesting.
Like I say, we were a detachment of 40 of us, and it went pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
I got no complaints. I had shows here on some of this. tells, you know, where we've been. Yeah, this is Hawaii, it shows here. Yeah.
That's a very nice book.
Dad saw that.
Oh, yeah, I watched him do that.
The last,
let me sit over here.
The last round? What was that? What's the last round?
Of the war.
Okay.
Yeah, here they were signing the last shell that was fired in the Korean War.
Wow. So that's what a shell looks like.
Well, that's an 8-inch shell. Okay. They got 5-inch shells, 8-inch shell, you know.
Now, were you on, did you go to shore in Hong Kong?
Oh, yeah.
Really? What was that like?
Oh, that was fun. It's something different, you know.
Yeah.
It's something new. So you got quite a bit there. And you got around. There's some.
What's St. Paul in Hong Kong?
Well, that's the ship.
That was the ship, okay.
Yeah, the St. Paul, USS St.
Paul.
So CA-73.
That is the one that you were on?
Yeah, that's it. That's it. CA-73.
Beautiful.
Yeah, there's another picture.
Okay.
And when I say an open mount, I don't know whether you can see it or not, but you see that right there?
Mm-hmm.
That's the one I was on.
Okay.
And then we had another one like that. Well, we had the one that got hit was right here.
Uh-huh.
Right in the breech of the gun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Amazing. What great memories, I mean, to have a book like this.
This Wonsan.
Yes. Now, where is that? Where's Wonsan?
That's in, it's way over there. I don't know what it's by.
Okay.
Wonsan Harbor.
But over in the Asian, Korean.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
That is a name I have not heard of before, Wonsan.
Wonsan Harbor, yeah.
Yeah.
In Guantanamo Bay. You were in Guantanamo Bay?
Oh, yeah. That was Cuba.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So you were at Guantanamo?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What was that like?
Oh, it's different people, you know. It's nice, you know. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I haven't looked at this for so long that.
How would you like to be remembered, Marvin?
Oh, gee, I don't know.
You've never thought of that
before? No, I've never
before.
Really given much thought.
It's just one of those questions I wind the interview with is, you know, how you would like to be remembered for your military service?
I'd like to be
service
remembered
to country.
As being a good guy, I guess, to get it down. I haven't did anything spectacular in my life.
I'd say you did your country very proud. So, when you came home and you got married?
Yeah, got married and
raised a family.
Raised a family, yeah. Nothing spectacular.
Oh, yes. Yes, your generation is.
I'm trying to find a.
What division were you in?
I was a Marine, right here.
Okay, the Marine Detachment.
Yeah, Swanson MD, right there. Yeah, that's...
Great to have all those pictures.
One thing about it, you got to see the world a little bit.
Absolutely.
And like, between the Navy and the Marine Corps, gosh, I've been a lot of places in this world, you know.
Now, have you been back to visit any of those places, like Hawaii or Hong Kong, since you served?
No.
Okay.
No. Yeah. Now it's it was good to have the past.
Mm-hmm.
And like I say, it's been so long ago now that.
Now, what's this picture?
Oh, this is a friend of mine and Randy Carlson. And we went to, let's see, where was that?
Minneapolis.
St. Paul? Yeah.
St. Paul.
And this was the anchor of the St. Paul's.
Really?
St. Paul's anchor. So that's where we had the picture taken, see?
That is so
amazing.
Yeah.
I had a little trouble throwing it overboard.
Oh my gosh. You know? I had no idea.
I said, holler, Swanson, throw the anchor over. Yes, sir. And I throw the anchor over.
Yeah, right. That is one amazing, huge anchor.
Yeah, I was remarkably strong.
Yeah, I'm impressed.
You're not helping it, Debbie.
I'm impressed. And there you are, just kind of sitting back, relaxing on that anchor.
Yeah.
All those years later. When was that taken? What year was that?
I was supposed to say on there. I don't know when it was.
Oh, 2 years ago.
2-3 years ago.
Oh, sure. Yeah. November 2010.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
All those years later, resting on that, sitting on that, on that anchor.
The ship is retired now.
The ship is retired. Oh, thank the Lord. Yeah. That is amazing. What a great picture.
The pilots used to radio into us when it would hit. Then we'd pick pilots up that were hit and they had to bail out. And a lot of them, the hospital's right next to our compartment, the Marine compartment. So I know I'd walk by there several different times and they had stretched out, fixing them up to go home. And I thought, oh my God, their wives don't even know they're dead. No. Now
so
it kind of, it kind of hits you a little bit, you know.
Yeah.
Amazing what you have seen.
Yeah,
as such a young man.
I've been around quite a bit. I've had that opportunity, I know that.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Then even being with the Naval Reserve, I got, you know, to California.
Mm-hmm.
And I was, like I say, I was on a destroyer to Cuba. And so I got around quite a bit there, too.
Now, what was the name of that destroyer?
Hyman. USS Hyman.
USS Hyman going to Cuba.
Yeah.
In the mail
to letter of appreciation, the Republic of Korea, June 25th, 2000.
Gee, I forgot about it.
Dear veteran, on the occasion of the 50th anniversary of the outbreak of the Korean War, I would like to offer you my deepest gratitude for your noble contribution to the efforts to safeguard the Republic of Korea and uphold liberal democracy around the world. At the same time, I remember with endless respect and affection those who sacrificed their lives for that cause. We Koreans hold dear in our hearts the conviction, courage, and spirit of sacrifice shown to us by such selfless friends as you, who enabled us to remain a free, democratic nation. The ideals of democracy for which you were willing to sacrifice your all 50 years ago have become universal values in this new century and millennium. Half a century after the Korean War, we honor you and reaffirm our friendship, which helped to forge the blood alliance between our two countries, and we resolve once again to work with all friendly nations for the good of humankind and peace in the world. I thank you once again for your noble sacrifice and pray for your health and happiness. Sincerely yours, signed Kim Dae-jung, President of the Republic of Korea. What a nice tribute.
Long time since I've seen that.
What a nice tribute. How beautiful. Written in Korean and in English. Beautiful. What a keepsake.
Yep, you bet. But one thing about it, going to these foreign countries, it's nice to see how other people live.
Mm-hmm.
And that it's really an education.
You realize how good you have it.
You bet. You
do. Yes.
And what we take for granted.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
That is really special.
I don't know whether you can see it. The gun mount I was on, I was right on this one right here. These are enclosed mounts, 5-inch and 8-inch guns.
And this one was open.
Yeah, this, they had
They had one here, one there, and they had a couple on the sides here of the open mounts. Yeah. And then the seaplane, we had a seaplane in the back, and this is how they used this to lift the seaplane back up.
Great photography back then, all those years ago.
Yeah.
Well, thank you very much, Marvin, for sharing your story with us.
Well, thank you. It's been so many years, you know, you lose some of it until, and once you start talking about it, things start clicking back because you never.
You never really forget it, and you never really talk about it, but once you get going on the subject, it all comes back.
Yeah.
Well, thank you very much for your service.
Thank you.